with Father Joseph.
He's taking a fallen angel.
Yeah, so he's not a fallen angel, right? He's a false principality, power, throne, dominion.
Is it on?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so of course, even angels, right? Angels also fall under dominion, thrones, powers, and principalities, right? So it's more precise to say that Satan is a false principality, power, dominion, and thrones. Okay? And the reason he fell, that's the core, why you want to understand the enemy. The reason he fell because of what? Pride. Let's go to that, right? So where does it say that do not use a novice unless he fall into the same condemnation, right? As a devil because of pride. Where does it say this? Sorry? And I know you guys have your computer, and try not to word search in your computer. Why? Because when you word search in your computer, then when you talk to truth seekers, talk to people, then you have no computer to word search, right? So search it up here, right? This should be your computer, right? Ezekiel. No, where does it say? I quoted almost exact word, right? Where did it say? Do not use a new believer or a novice unless he pop up with pride, just like the devil. Yes, 1 Timothy chapter. Oh, this is nice. Oh, that's good. I feel much better. 1 Timothy chapter. Chapter 3, verse 6, right? So always remember this, right? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. So the devil, the reason he fell, because of pride. Because of pride. And where does it say that Jesus said, I saw Satan fell just like the lightning, right, from heaven? Where does it say that? Satan, Jesus said, I saw Satan fell from heaven just like the lightning. Yes, brother. I'm sorry? Yes, Luke 10:18, okay? Yeah, you can word search right now, but remember it in your head, okay? Remember in your head. Luke 10:18. And it said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Right? So in other words, if he fell because of pride, right? And then this pride, if you have pride inside your heart, what does this mean, according to 10:18, brother? 10:18. If you have pride inside your heart, right? And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall just like lightning from heaven. What does that mean? What kind of lightning, right? Right? A flash of lightning. This means if you have pride inside your heart, right? The fall is so quick. And this is very true. Right? So that's why when we think about this, so that's why when we learn the ways of our enemies, then we know exactly how to, right, defend from an enemy and how to attack an enemy. Right? So pride, right? Let's go to Isaiah 14, right? Isaiah 14. You know, before, right, when I first came to Christ, of course, I do a lot of word search. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying nothing wrong with that, right? I take a lot of notes. I do a lot of word search. But every time I encounter true seekers, I'm always looking for my notes, right? And during the time I said, no way I can talk the true secrets like this. So I must try my best to memorize it. So that's why with the basic doctrine, I try my best to memorize it. For you, exactly the same thing. That is the sword, right, on your thigh. You mean you're ready to pull it out, right, and defend yourself and destroy your enemy. If your sword's in a closet somewhere, where are you going to go? Oh, don't kill me. Let me go get my sword first, right? It cannot be like that, right? So that's why I try to memorize. When you pray, for example, Ezekiel classes this morning, right? When you pray, you meditate on the Word of God, right? And ask God, right, to put that inside your heart. So when you press retreat, it will come right to your head. Right? Always try to do this, right? Of course, some of us, we learn differently, right? We learn differently. Some of us, we learn because of notes and computer, things like that, right? But try to memorize, right, different verses and try to make a whole picture in your head. Right? So, for example, for me, when I think about Satan and how he fell, I have a whole picture in my head, and I put it together. And because of this, then when I talk to true seekers, then it's very easy for me to go one by one. And with everything, I try to do this, right? But the best way to memorize during your prayer is very important, right, during your prayer. So, Isaiah 14. I'm sorry, Isaiah 14, verse 12. Verse 12, 13, and 14. Okay? Try to see how many I, right? How many I. Verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest side of the north. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So here, how many times did he say I? How many times did he say I, sister? Five times, right? Did he do anything yet? No. He didn't even do anything yet. He just, inside his heart. He said inside his heart. So not only we understand that pride, if you have pride, you fall just like lightning so quickly. But this pride works inside your heart. Quite often when we are proud, we cannot see why we are proud. Right? Can you tell a person, oh, you're so proud? Really, it's very difficult for them to see. And a proud person can never see that they are proud. And that's why they are proud. If they see they are proud, then they be humble. Yes, sister. Yes. Yeah. It's not like when you say I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This means he's talking about he always want to be higher, right? Actually, he want to ascend into heaven. This means he want to be where God is. I see the whole passage is like this. This means it doesn't matter where he was. But he wanted to be high. Why? Because he wanted to be where God is. And he wanted to be God. Is it okay for us nowadays, right? We say we want to be like a Jesus Christ. Is anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? No. Every one of us, we want to be like a Jesus Christ. But when Satan said he wanted to be like the Most High God, actually, he wanted to take over it, right? This is his pride. Right? So that's why pride is like internal bleeding. You must be very careful. When you're bleeding internally, you cannot tell until you fall down dead. This is very important. So I know so many of you are very intelligent, right? And maybe you feel you know more than others. But the more you know, the more humble you should be. The more you bear fruit, the branches should be almost to the ground already, right? But if you feel you bear so much fruit and your branch sticking straight up, this means actually not bearing fruit. It seems like that, but your branches are empty, no fruit at all. So that's why we can see, right, Lucifer. Say, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will also sit on the mount, right? I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God. That is his goal. For example, what is the number of God? Usually we describe, what is his number? Seven, right? And what is Satan's number? Six, right? Is it just six? Yes. 666. Why the Bible say his number is 666? Huh? I'm sorry? Okay, fall short of God's glory. But six is already enough. Fall short of God's glory. Why 666? Yes. 666, he won, always want to be close to 7, you understand? But even you 6 to the 1,000 powers, cannot be 7, right? But that's why the Bible says he's 666. He always want to be 7. That's why in the book of Revelation, right? You know, the four living creatures. Satan also had the four living creatures. But they're weird looking, right? The way they describe them and stuff, right? You guys notice that in the book of Revelation, right? The four living creatures, right? Full of eyes within and without, right? But Satan also had his creatures, right? You guys read that, you have time, right? It's really amazing. Why? Because he always want to be like God. He always want to duplicate God. So nowadays, if he want to deceive us, he will make things so close to God's teaching that we do not know what is right and wrong. Unless you had that spiritual eyesight. Right? One time I was watching on one of those war channel, and they're talking about this one captain, a colonel, a commander, I don't know what he was at the time. But he had, this is from the United States, right? He was the only one, right? And there's like 25 tanks. He was in the tank also, right? And he had 25 tanks around him. But the thing is that all the tanks that were around him, they don't have the night vision, right? So they cannot see that he was around it, right? So only one of him, he can destroy 25 tanks. Why? Because his night had the night vision. So he keeps shooting every one of them, right? Just for fun. And they have no idea where the shooting is coming from. Why? Because of that night vision. Without night vision, just like our spiritual eyesight, without the spiritual eyesight, there's no way that you and I can see the way of Satan. That's why you must pray, right? Just like the four living creatures. Their eyes within, without, all around, right? This means it doesn't matter where, how Satan can attack, right? Just like when you're good in Kung Fu, right? You can just stand with your eyes closed. Doesn't matter where it comes from, right? I don't know how that true is that, but whatever, right? But your spiritual eyesight must be like this, right? It's so important. So then let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1. You remember? Verse 8. Yes. Yeah, on the book of Revelation, he also has, no, not only four, he has living creatures too. Yes. In the book of Revelation, you read the whole thing, you know it. Okay? It's in different parts, right? Okay? He also has his creature too, right? But you know, what is that? Cabbage Patch Kids. Remember Cabbage Patch Kids, right? You guys remember that? And there's an ugly version of it. It's Cabbage Peel Kids, something like that, right? You guys remember that? Oh, you guys are too young. Oh, is Gavin good at it? Yeah, something like that, right? The ugly version, right? So Satan is like that. When you look at the four living creatures, he has that, Cabbage Pills Kid, whatever, right? It's ugly version of the four living creature. Okay? But actually, if you don't look carefully, you think these four ugly living creatures, they're so cute, right? They're so majestic and stuff. But actually, they belong to Satan. Right, they belong to Satan. Jeffrey, you can do that, right? You can read it, then you can share with us, okay? What kind of creature does Satan have, okay? And then what? The next one. So Isaiah 14, so you plus 14 more in Ezekiel, 14 plus 14, 28. Am I scared you? I'm sorry. Let me back up a little bit. And then Ezekiel 28, all right? So Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, right? This is talking about the downfall of Satan, right? Satan. So Ezekiel 28. The Ezekiel 28 is talking about what? Talking about what? The king of Tyre and Sidon, right? Or Sidon, right? But if you look very closely, verse 12, 28 verse 12. Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus say the Lord God, you will seal, you with the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13. You were in Eden, the God of God. You can see there's no longer talking about the king of Tyre, right? See, it's talking about Satan himself before he fall. And then here, you were the seal of perfection. So he must really the most beautiful spiritual being. Right? When you're a seal of perfection, it means you must, you know, it's not something normal, just like another angel, you understand? Right? Did the Bible ever describe Michael, the archangel, what he looks like and stuff? No, right? We never know. Michael, the archangel, every time they describe him, what does he do? What type of angel is he? Huh? What was that? What did he say? Huh? I'm talking about, who are you talking about? Michael the archangel, right? When every time the Bible describes Michael the archangel, what does he do? He fights. That is purpose, he fights. What about Gabriel? What kind of angel is he? Huh? Message, right? And what about the seraphim? What do you do? Huh? I'm sorry? Yeah, praise God, right? What about the cherubim? What do? They cover. See, they're all type of different department of angels, right? But look at this, Lucifer, right? It says him. He was the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Actually, if you really look very close, you think they describe God himself, you understand? But this is the spiritual being that God created. And then you were in the Eden, the garden of God, right? I'm talking about this all spiritual stuff. I don't think it's, you know, he walked in the Garden of Eden when he be before, right? Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, oxen, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. And then verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Cherub, people say, that's why he's an angel. But what does cherub mean? Cherub, what does it mean? Let me guess. What does cherubim do? Yes. So cherub, it means to cover. It's right there, right? You are known the cherub who covers. So cherub, it means to cover. That's all that means. Right? That's all that means. Okay? Then look at, you continue, right? I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stone. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. So before that in Colossians chapter 1, right? He was a perfect. He was sealed with perfection. He was so beautiful. But then the iniquity found in him, then he became Satan. So always remember this. So that's why we also say that God did not create sinful Adam and Eve. But God created very good Adam and Eve. But because of their sin. And what was their sin? Andrew, what was their sin? I'm sorry? They want to... Remember, what was the Satan, the reason he fell because of what? Pride. Do you think if the reason he fell because of pride, so his whole scheme, an enemy whole scheme, is for you to be proud. So that's fine. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis. Verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis. Let's start from verse 5. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Right? This is his goal all along. Satan, he wants to be like God. So he knows that if that kind of pride can, you know, make him fall from heaven, he also knows that this kind of pride will also get to man. So most of brothers and sisters fall from church, I'm telling you, because of pride. That is the main cause of everything, is pride. So the minute you have pride in your heart, you must kill it. You must kill it. This is very important. And then what? Then look at verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, is it that the only tree that's good for food? No. Every tree in the garden was good for food. And then the woman saw the tree desired to make one wise. I mean, that's too pleasant for the eyes. Is it that's the only tree that's pleasant to the eyes? No. Every tree. But what's the last one? To make one wise. This is a deception from Satan, you understand? You think Adam was not wise? What do you think, sister? Was Adam stupid? Or Eve stupid? Of course not. He named all the animals, right, in one sitting, right? And whatever he named, he called them nowadays, right? Can you imagine, right? Can you name this piano different names, right? Go ahead. Just name all different kind of names. Give it fancy names, right? Huh? Yamaha is already taken away, right? What I'm saying is that all the animals come by, Adam can just put wisdom. I call this one, look at a tiger, right? A tiger really looks like a tiger, right? Can you imagine if you look at a tiger, that's an elephant. It doesn't go, right? An elephant, you can never look at that little dog, say, hey, that's an elephant. No. An elephant really looks like an elephant, right? Because of wisdom, right? Because of wisdom. So, but actually deceived by Satan. That's why. Right? So, always remember this, right? So now that we know, any question you thought at all about how Satan fell and where the origin of Satan, right? So, Satan, right? Did God create Satan? Huh? What happened? Why don't say yes already? Ah. No, right? He did not create Satan. Just like he did not create sinful Adam and Eve, right? He created very good Adam and Eve because of their transgression. Then they became sinful Adam and Eve. So God created principality, power, throne, dominions. They were good until they found false, sinful inside of them. Then they became Satan. Yes. First, yeah, someone asked me this question, right? Is it a concept, right? So when talking about principality, power, is it a concept? When we look at this, is it a concept or is it really existed, right? Of course, it exists for real. Right? Satan is not a concept, right? He walked back and forth. That's not a concept. Concept cannot walk back and forth. Right? So that's real, right? What happened when God first created this dominion powers? It's not a concept. God created them. Right? And we can ask, why did God create them? Then when we die, we go and see Him, we can ask Him, right? But God created all dominion powers, throne, all these things. And they are not concepts. They are real. They are spiritual beings. So that's why all the time I experience evil spirit, right? They all come in different form and shape. All different kinds. So that's why they're not concept, but they're real. They're real. They existed, right during that time. Okay, is that the question you're asking, sister? Yes. Okay. Yes. How do we cast out the pride? Right? How? Right? It's maybe we have time. We can talk about more about that. Right? Okay. Let's try to but it does go with us being a soldier, right? How you get pride out of your heart, right? But first, let's try to understand what is Satan's greatest weapon. Yes.
So God gives angels, everyone a choice to worship, to serve them or not.
Mm-hmm. It seems like that, right? It seems that God also gave the principality, power, throne, the means, also the free will to worship Him or not. Right? So, but then one of the brothers asked, right, if that is the case, when we go to eternal life, will there be sin? will it be sin there? Right? Will it be sin there? Okay. Let's go to Revelation. In this microphone might have some kind of something make my left arms all numb. Nothing going through my body. Revelation. Chapter 21 verse 8, I'm sorry. Chapter 21 verse 8. 21 verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexual immoral, sorcerer, idolaters, and all liar shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone with the second death. So here it's very clear, right? Those who sin against God, including Satan himself, they have their place too in eternity. And this place is a place of brimstone and fire. So in other words, where we go in eternal life, there's no more sin. Right? That's all we know. When there's no more sin, there's no more. We can have the, we have the opportunity to sin against God. But do we have free will or not? We don't know, right? The Bible never tells us, right? Yes? What is the source of sin, right? It's in the Bible, it really never tells us why did Satan sin, right? Where did it come from, right? If Satan built a sin in the first place, where did it come from? But we know now, sin, where did the source of sin come from now that we know? Where? Satan. We know that the source of sin is from Satan. But before Satan sinned, where did the source come from? We do not know. The only thing we can say that is our free will to do good or to do bad, right? Yeah. Any question you got? Any question you got? Okay. Now, you have something, Brad? Actually, when we think about the serpent, right? The serpent, he was used by Satan, right? Because the serpent, let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Right? So don't think the serpent always crawl on his stomach, right? He had probably had four legs in that time, right? Before he was cursed, right? Because he's a beast of the field. He's a cattle of the field. So this means he was just like a cattle, right? Maybe a water buffalo or something. I don't know, right? Or whatever it was. But because he was very cunning. Cunning in the sense that he was very smart. He'd be able to do this and do that. But the problem is that he allowed Satan to use him, right, to deceive Adam and Eve. Okay. And that's pretty much it. Right? But he was neutral. He's one of the creatures that God created. But he allowed Satan to use him as a mouthpiece to deceive. Just like you and I nowadays, right? We often be neutral right now, you and I. We don't go to the bad way. Maybe we don't go to the good way. We're still neutral. But the day that you let Satan, especially some of you are very smart, right? You let Satan to deceive you. Then he used you to go against brothers and sisters. Right? Then you become children of Satan, right? A child of Satan. Just like the serpent. Right? Just like the serpent. So that's why you must be very careful. Right? So that's why I always try to remind you guys. It doesn't matter who speak up here, right? A brother, a deacon, deaconess, a pastor, senior pastor, elders, you always have to discern what's right according to the Bible, right? Don't just let us speak up here and then you just take everything in, right? And sooner or later kill yourself spiritually, right? Don't be like that. You must have a great filter inside your system, right? Just like my fish tank, right? Can you still about my fish tank? my fish tank is only about 60 gallon, right? 60 gallon. I mean, it's pretty big. But I know I'm not going to be home too often. So I bought the filter for like 450 gallon. Right? This filter is huge, right? So this means I don't have to clean my fish tank for a whole year and it's still pretty clean. Why? Because the filter is much, much more, right, than my fish tank. So that's why for all of you, you must have this kind of filter in your system, right? So don't think every time someone come up here in the name of Jesus Christ, and you, oh, let me take it in, right? No filter, anything at all, right? And then sooner or later you will die. Especially toward the end days. Because on the end days, where the Antichrist come from, brother? Where is it? Yes, from your church, from you. Maybe it's you. Right? Maybe it's me. Right? So that's why it doesn't matter who speaks. You filter it. Use the Bible as a filter. Right? So when you know the Bible well, then that is your filter. Don't let anything go through without going through the Bible first, right? You guys understand what I'm saying? Anything, anyone speak concerning God, concerning anything, you put the Bible just like in front of you and let it go through it first. Because anything is not according to the Bible, it will not go through. It's about mentally speaking. This is very important, right? Very important. What else? Any other question, any other thought? Okay. Now, we know that Satan is not self-exist. If he's not self-exist, this means he is nothing. So that's why when we go out to fight against Satan and we're preaching the gospel, don't think, right, when we go into the front line that an enemy is so weak we can just destroy them ourselves. No way. If we use our own carnal ways, then we will be destroyed by Satan. But we must use the Spirit of God, and later on we'll get into that, right? But now, what is his greatest weapon, Satan? In the beginning, he deceived Adam and Eve, right? By using pride. And then, when he came to tempt our Lord Jesus Christ, he used the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, right? But nowadays, of course, all those things he's going to use until the end times, right? But what does he want to do to us? Where is Satan's power? Where is Satan's power? Pastor Huang shared it. I was listening to him, right? And he spoke in your class. And he said, where is Satan's power? Where is Satan's power? Sisters, where is Satan's power? I sat back there and I heard it. You guys are here, you must have heard him too, right? Where is Satan's power? Where is he located? Where is the location of Satan's power? Huh? Okay, on earth, but the location according to his, you know, the physical aspect of Satan, we talk about that, right? Yes, it's in his head. Satan's power is in his head, right? Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. So when the disciple asked Jesus Christ, what will be the sign of the end days? And how did our Lord Jesus Christ respond? How did our Lord Jesus Christ respond? Olivia, sister. How are you? How did our Lord Jesus Christ respond? Yes. He says, take heed that no one deceive you. This is a sign of the end days. So when you go to different churches, when you see a brother and sister, third, fourth generation being deceived, this is the sign of the end days. You get it? So that's why. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation. You put this together, right? Chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 3. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. Revelation 12, 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and have seven diadems on his head. Revelation 13, 1. Revelation 13, 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which is full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So where's his power? These three verses?
It's in his head.
And his glory is in his head. Right? Because horns represent power, right? You guys ever see a moose before? A moose? Sometimes you call a person, hey, you're such a big moose, right? Right? It's not, you know, maybe you guys over here, you don't say that kind of stuff, right? Where's the moose around here? You guys ever see a moose before? Actually, if you go to New England, you see plenty of moose, right? In Vermont, New Hampshire, right? And moose, it weighs more than a ton. But the horn, they're huge. Huge, right? If a car hits a moose, what happened to your car? Yeah, it'd be destroyed. And the moose probably can just run away. That's how big the moose is, right? But the horn, they're huge. And that's his power, right? If he had no horn, he had little horns. Then you cannot call him a big moose. Call him a big chicken, right? Because he's not going to be able to fight anyone with no horns, right? But you can see Satan's glory, not only has 10 horns, but also a diadem, crown. This means his glory is in his head. So now, let's talk about this, right? So that's why it's so important. So if you are the soldier of Christ, if you are in the front line, if you don't want Satan to deceive your head, what kind of head you must have? If you don't want Satan they deceive your mind, what kind of mind you must have? What is that? Yes. You must have the mind of Christ. If you have the mind of Christ, Satan cannot deceive your mind. Right? We'll talk about that later, how we can manifest the mind of Christ. But meanwhile, we can see that right now, Satan is not fully released yet. So a brother asked, right, I think yesterday. So what does it mean? Right? Did you ask Joseph? I don't know who asked. About the Satan being in prison for 1,000 years, right? Right? 1,000 years, right? What does it mean to be in prison for 1,000 years? What does it mean? Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12.
Verse 9.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and he was angel cast out with him. Right? So here, what is the action verb here that we see? Or the verb, right, that they use about Satan. What does he do? Huh? Deceives. He deceives, right? Then let's go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Let's start from verse 1. Verse 1 to verse 3. Revelation 20, verse 1 to verse 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Verse 2. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Verse 3. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nation no more till 1,000 years were finished. And after these things, he must be released for a little while. So here, right, he was chained for 1,000 years. And these 1,000 years, for what? Why the 1,000 years? What does it mean to be in prison or chained for 1,000 years, according to these three verses? Yes. So to be chained in prison for 1,000 years means he cannot deceive the nation. You understand? This means he's limited in his power in deceiving the nation. But what happened? 1,000 years have expired? Look at verse 7. Chapter 20, verse 7. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released
from his prison, verse 8. And he will go out to deceive the nation.
So in other words, to be in prison is not a physical prison, but rather that God limited his power. His power to deceive the nation. But on the end days, he will be fully released. And when he is released, he go out to the four corners of the earth, and he will be able to create his army, Gog and Magog. Then this army will fight against you and I. Then we're in the front line. So on the end days, you can't help it. On the end days, there's no more such thing as NYTS, you understand? On the end days, you must be in the front line to fight already. If you're still in NYTS, you're already dead already. Because on the end days, there's no more time to train. But we must fight in the battle. Just like on the end days, there's no longer you can be just a regular Levite. Or you can just be a regular priest. On the end days, you must enter the Naos, right? The Naos is the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, who goes into there? High priest. So on the end days, if you guys are not high priest, you'll be kaput. You'll be done. Why? Because all the outside courts are given to the Gentiles to trample upon.
Let's go ahead and pray. Oh, let's kneel down and pray. Let's kneel down and pray. To the Kudakar.